Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Thursday to you. Nice to be here. Program has come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios here in Southern California. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. So I'm looking at my program monitor and I see color bars. We are not simulcast today. You know what that means? Rit will be half speed, half ass. Oh, I know, Rit. You're all about that red light, man. Dude, you come to life when that red light goes on.
Can't do it, baby.
Except it's not coming on today. But we still have a job to do. All right, so we are here on audio. No TV simulcast. We will be back tomorrow on CBS Sports Network. But in the meantime, I've got a really good radio program for you. Let's get started. Telephone number is toll-free. 1-800-636-8686. Let's try something different. Don't be so passive, man. Get out in front of it. Be proactive. Take your shot. Call your shot. Get on the air. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. It could go very badly, but it might go awesomely, too. You might get racked. You might get a little bit of a following. You might parlay that into something even bigger. It might just be fun. Put yourself out there. Get on the phone. Hit us up. The EP of the show, Chalk, is screening telephone calls. He's going to ask you. Yeah, that guy. He's got his own theme song. Little Eddie Munster. He's screening out the calls. He's clever. He has an Ivy League background. He's going to ask you what you want to talk about. Have a good answer. Do not try to bully him by saying, hey, new guy, put me through to Rome. He knows me. He knows what I'm about. Yeah, but Chalk doesn't. You got to sell him to get to me to get on the air. It's not that hard. Just come strong. So if you know what you want to talk about based on what happened last night or what could happen tonight or this weekend, start dialing 1-800-636-8686. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, that always works, at Jim Rome. And once again, I'm not sure how long we'll do it, but we are one of those programs that will still read an email or two. Email address, Rome, R-O-M-E, at havetake.com. So I've got three interviews for you starting at 9:40 Pacific time, 12:40 Eastern. Tennessee Titans safety, Kevin Byard. Second hour is open. Third hour, two interviews. I've got former MLBer Cliff Floyd. He's with MLB Network. And I've got a senior NFL reporter for CBS Sports, Jonathan Jones. I've got an awesome episode of the Jim Rome podcast, which is live right now. Do me a favor. Don't check it out until after the program. I don't want to compete with me. Check it out afterwards. But it's a great, great conversation with NFLer Mitchell Schwartz. He brings us up to date on where he is in his rehab and just an all-around awesome dude and a great conversation. All right. So now the table has been set. Let's get to it. Use the telephone. Hit me up. Dodger fans, hate to do this, but they pay me to do this. Yeah, and by the way, how do you know I'm not wearing my Dodger blue? You don't know. I'm not on TV. Dodger Jim could be rocking Dodger blue, and you don't even know it. Although I do know Dodger Jano is not having a good morning.
Put your ass on, you little sissy blue shirt.
Right. Dodger fan, again, I hate to do it, but they do pay me to do it, so here it is. Let me ask you the same question I asked you exactly 24 hours ago. How y'all living right now? Pretty crappy, I'm guessing. Because for all of that talk of Cody Bellinger possibly flipping this series on its head in Game 3, Atlanta came right back and hit the Dodgers with a pile driver into a folding table. For all that talk about Bellinger and company rolling in a Benz, the ATL fired up Gravedigger and drove all over them and backed up over them and ran over them again. And they didn't wait very long to do it either. See, that's the thing about momentum. Everybody talks about momentum in sports. Momentum lasts only as long as you keep it. And for the Dodgers, they barely had it. Once Game 4 started, they had it, and then the Braves immediately ripped it right back from them.
No balls, two strikes. Yeah, that ball's hit well into left field. Turning and running is Taylor at the track, the wall. She's gone. Eddie Rosario with a home run. Opposite field smash, and the Braves strike first.
Yeah, right. There's your momentum, right there. And then it got even worse for the Dodgers when Adam Duvall followed him with one of his own bombs.
When he was logging multiple innings, that ball's high and deep into left center field. Duvall gives it a ride, and this one's going to fly. Adam Duvall with a home run. The Braves go back to back. And now you really start to feel the screws tightening.
Gonzo, two flat, fat fastballs, two home runs, down 2-0. And you could tell at that point that Urias just did not have it. Just did not have it. Credit to Atlanta, though. These dudes are cold-blooded, absolute assassins. They get their hearts ripped out on Tuesday night. Then they come back last night, and they bludgeon L.A. in every way possible. To once again quote the late, great Pat Tillman, that was a nice, swift ass-kicking.
Nice, swift ass-kicking.
And it wasn't just at the plate. They were doing it in the field, too, like when Gavin Lux put a charge into one in the bottom of the second. Lux, again, thought that he left the yard. He thought it was gone the second he barreled that one up. Duvall, however, seemed to know and act like that ball never had a chance of leaving the yard.
That's the teammate right there. Now Lux gets into one. He thinks he got it. That's way back. And this one is going to be caught! Duvall! What a catch! Twice now, Gavin Lux thought he had hit one out to left center.
Huge play by Adam Duvall.
This will not be the first reference to a package blast, but that was a blast to the package for L.A. Like, that was L.A.'s chance to get into the game, get that crowd going, because that crowd that had that joint rocking in a way that I've never seen on Tuesday was starting to feel like a morgue only a day later. And it was because of plays like that from Duvall. I mean, that was grim. And then it only got worse from there. That fight went to the ground. And then the Braves started landing hammer fists at will. And the Dodgers were unable to defend themselves. And there was no ref to step in to stop that bludgeoning. Like, I know Dodger Jano was beside herself. And especially when Freddie Freeman walked to the dish with a bat in his hands. That rarely is a good thing for the guys on the other side.
2-1 to Freeman. And a high fly ball into right field. Got some carry to it. Betts is back at the wall. And this one is gone. The Atlanta Braves with the long ball. Freddie Freeman this time. Third solo home run of the night.
I mean, on the one hand, I'm thinking to myself, man, somebody pull these guys off Urias. Because he's not himself. But on the other hand, right, please, someone call someone. There's a mess on aisle four. There's a mess on the bump, 60 feet, 6 inches away. Except I know you, Dodger fan, you probably were telling yourself, yeah, all right, he's not right. He looks nothing like the 20-game winner that he is. He's obviously not right because they've asked him to take the ball for the fourth time in 11 days. But the silver lining is, although he can't keep anybody in the yard, these are all solo blasts. And it's not like LA has not come back on them before. It's not like they didn't come back on them on Tuesday. It's not like they didn't come back on them last year when they were down 3-1. It's not like they weren't down to their last five outs. They've been there before. They've done this before. In other words, they're the champs. They don't panic. They don't rattle. You don't throw dirt on these guys, i.e., we good. If you're a Dodger fan, I can absolutely see where you would be telling yourself all of that. And if you did, you were absolutely wrong because wrong. You absolutely were not good. We ain't good. Man, that matchup looks so good on paper, too. I got to admit. Not even as, quote, Dodger Jim. On paper, it looked good. A 20-game winner versus the Braves coming off a gut-wrenching loss and having to go to the bullpen game, and they're in L.A., and L.A.'s got its mojo back. It looked awesome. I'll admit it. I felt great about that going in until I saw what Urias had or didn't have. Next thing you know, a fight breaks out at the Braves' bat rack with dudes giving each other the hands in order to get in line to get a shot at the 20-game winner. But it's not all on him, right? He was not alone. Like, what I'm saying to you is, the Dodgers picked a really bad time to have a really bad game. Like, there was Lux again getting stuck in no man's land on a ball that allowed a run to score.
1-2 in the air, center field, off the end of the bat, coming in fast, Lux, cannot get there. A base hit. Rosario will score.
Ball right off the end of the bat from Peterson. And remember, we talked about Dave Roberts saying to his center fielder, don't be careful.
Problem is, like, in a situation like that, and I'm not going to kill the kid for it. I mean, he has almost no experience in center field. But when you have a situation like that and you've got a kid who's got, like, no experience in center field, the ball will find him. It always does. And it did. So easy to say also he should have given himself up. He should have dove for the ball in that circumstance. But if he dives and he misses, then everybody kills him for that too. And I do get why he's out there. It just did not pay off last night. You know, nerds gonna nerd. Nerds gonna look at their spreadsheets. And then nerds are going to out-nerd themselves sometimes. You know, kind of like, I understand why the Dodgers will, how do I put this? How do I say? I understand why they got creative with their pitching this postseason, but that's not working out either, is it? Like, you got Max Scherzer coming out of the bullpen against the Giants, and then Max, even Max Scherzer, red-ass, badass that he is, has a dead arm in game two. Walker Buehler goes on short rest against the Giants, and then long rest against Atlanta. Urias out of the bullpen the last two games, and then had nothing when they needed him most. Like, it makes sense given how much they've had to go to this guy in the last 2 weeks. What I'm saying is, in addition to nerds gonna nerd, and sometimes nerd craps out, they rolled the dice. And their three aces, Scherzer, Buehler, Urias, have allowed 13 runs in 14 innings. Like, nobody, even the biggest second guessers of all time, could have seen that happening. And then I can't even put it all on them. Like, it's not like the offense has been picking up their pitchers either. They've scored more than four runs once in this series. And most of that was on one swing of a bat by a guy who admitted he didn't even know why he swung at that pitch. So the offense sucking is not a new thing. It's an entire postseason thing. LA has scored more than four runs just three times total in this postseason. So why am I going so hard on this? Why am I going on and on about this? I'm trying to show you I am not Dodger Jim. I'm letting you know how it is. I'm giving the Braves their credit, and I'm calling into question some of the things the Dodgers have done. Like,
credit.
You can say all you want. Thank you, Philip. Thanks for finally having my back, Philip. You can say
for
all,
real.
Philip, you can say all you want about whether Philip. Analytics, thank you. Alvin.
Philip.
Alvin,
Philip,
you can say all you want about whether analytics-driven decisions have wrecked the Dodgers' pitching, but the hitters have been far worse. I mean, they've just been terrible. You cannot win in the postseason if you don't score runs. You see, that's why they pay me the big money for takes like that. You cannot win in the postseason if you don't score runs. Not, thank you, Alvin. Alvin,
Philip.
Not when you're facing mashers like the Braves. And as if that crap sandwich of a game weren't bad enough for Dodger fans, then they get this too.
On the crowd, got a chance to turn two here. It'll be Alves by himself and a double play, and Turner is hurt. Turner has been playing with a bad hamstring. It got him right there. He pulled up about three quarters of the way up the line, and we might have seen the last of Justin Turner in this NLCS. And 53,000 at Dodger Stadium go into a hush. Tough to watch. Yeah.
I'd say. Look, I know Justin Turner has not been himself in this series, but you always have the hope that, man, if this guy can get into one, just one, that can give the offense a charge. But not anymore. Now he's done. Now there's no Justin Turner, no Max Muncy, no Clayton Kershaw. The Dodgers are deep, but they're not that deep. Nobody is. And now they're down 3-1. And yes, I know they were down 3-1 last year against Atlanta. But nothing about this Dodger team feels like that Dodger team. And more importantly, nothing about this Braves team feels like that Braves team. The Braves now are all swag and confidence. And the Dodgers are missing key pieces and running on fumes. And now tonight, with the entire season on the line, they have to go with a bullpen game themselves. Well, the Braves get to run their horse, Max Fried, out there to finish off the world champs. What I am saying is, Dodger fan, I would love to tell you you're good. Finish him. Everything's going to be just fine. Now is not the time to panic. But the fact is, it doesn't look good, and now would be a really good time to panic.
For real.
For real. And now would be a really good time to stop calling me Dodger Jim.
You sound like a homer.
Do I?
Not good.
Yeah, they're in a bad, bad way right now. Look, good news is, Red Sox fan, at least I didn't start with you. Nice. All of a sudden, they're up against it, too. 1-800-636-8686. Braves look great. Dodgers up against it. The Astros going back home with a chance to finish. And I'll tell you what's weird. I mean, what a weird day. I've got a take on the New York Knicks, and it's positive. I'm not here to clown them. I'm not here to call them out. I'm here to say, man, I haven't seen a night like that at the Mecca in a long time. Long, long time. So I've got that for you, too. I also want to give you a preview and a heads up of the conversation I had with Mitchell Schwartz on my podcast. Yeah, Rome, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like a shill for your podcast. Right, that's exactly what it is. However, it's good content.
That's right.
My man is really funny and had some really good things to say. So I will have that for you as well. I've got Kevin Byard coming up later on this hour. And I'm looking for a little reaction. Let's see what we got here. First guy through is Carl. Congrats, Dodger Jim, on the Dodgers winning last night. Signed, Tennis Reporter.
Hi. Nadal, congratulations on your win. And I would like to know, how do you feel after the game and if you're ready to give it another try?
I lost, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But it's a win anyway.
Do I sound like Dodger Jim? No, I sound like a very insightful, intelligent, charismatic radio/TV host who is completely objective.
Hi.
Ryan in Sacktown, quote, JR, does the David August book tell you to wear black after a Dodger beatdown? Wore Dodger Jano packing Funyuns in Dodger Jim's lunch to cheer him up. Hey, Ryan.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Ryan. You're blocked.
Hi.
Why do you think I care? Why do you think I care? Why do I have to? Why do I have to? If I were a fanboy and I had a favorite team and it hurt, wouldn't I just come right out and say it? Don't care. I'm here to give the Braves credit. That was a beatdown, a hospital job, a curb stomping. And they did so after having their hearts ripped out. Dear Jim, as the Dodgers pitchers gave up run after run last night, I couldn't help but think of Dodger Betty at home in Long Beach, screaming curse words at the television and pounding brandy in anger. Well, little Dodger Craig had a good walk and a cry around the block. Signed, Ryan in Newport Beach. That's not how the in-laws roll. Dodger Betty is not a brandy gal, nor does she curse, nor does she get angry. Dodger Betty is 96 and still like rides a life cycle. And I mean, she's tough now, really tough. Quote, little Dodger Craig. I don't know how he dealt with it last night. I wasn't there. Mike and Minnie, quote, there is no way Atlanta can choke a 3-1 lead now. Signed, the 2020 NLCS. This is my whole point. What I'm saying is both these teams are different than they were a year ago. I don't see it happening. Let's see here. Hey, Dodger Jim, why don't you ask Frisco how we're living right now? Ha 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 ha. Oh, I know how you're living right now, Frisco. You don't care about you. Again, you want the Dodgers to lose more than you want to win, so you're having a good day. Never mind that you are already at home. You don't care. If the Dodgers lose this, you're going to act like you won the World Series. So I know how you're doing, Frisco. Keep sending the water, yo. All right, when we come back. Also, I want to talk TNF, America's team. You want to talk about a team that's beaten up and battered. Which of America's team can actually go tonight? That's the big question. Kevin Byard coming up at 40 past. Clones, you know that I'm always looking out for you. So let's talk about the most creative sports betting app on the market right now, WynnBET. That's right, WynnBET. The luxury hoteliers are now in the digital sports betting space, and they're offering that same five-star service that you're used to from Wynn Resorts, all in the form of a sports book and a casino app. So whether you're playing money lines and props for NFL Week 7 or totals and live betting for college football Week 8, WynnBET is where you want to be. All the biggest events are right here at WynnBET. And they've got this killer new search bar to help you navigate the app. It gets better. WynnBET is now fully integrated with Wynn Rewards. This is the best loyalty program in the industry. So what you want to do is go to their site, check out all the deets. Whether playing from your phone or your computer, you have absolutely got to sign up for WynnBET Stat. Bet with the best. Get into the game. Offers subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. You do have to be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so this segment will be a little bit shorter because I had some things I had to get off my mind or off my chest at the very top. It is the Thursday edition of the program. I've got Tennessee Titan Kevin Byard coming up next segment. In the meantime, we got a Thursday night matchup, which is pretty interesting. Interesting in that both these teams are banged up, but nobody like Cleveland. Cleveland is really busted up. America's team, the Cleveland Browns. And I'm looking at them right now, minus one. Interesting. But given what they have, not surprising. Who do you like tonight? Really quickly, some more reaction. Jaime, talk about the Knicks all you want, but please do not play the song. Thanks, Stephen S.A.
Say go, New York, go, New York, go.
Which song?
Say go, New York, go, New York, go.
That song or the other song? Hey, Steve, how about I won't tell you what to do and you don't tell me what to do? Or how about you don't tell me what to do and I will tell you what to do? Don't tell me what to play or not play.
Say, go, New York, go, New York, go.
Or would you like to just give me my takes ahead of time? And you just go ahead and give me the take and then I'll do it and then pretend like it's my take. How about we do that, Steve? Hey, Steve, it's your show. Run with it. Take it over. Van Sizzle, did you say crap sandwich? Were you trying to get hold of us? Signed, the last 5 years of Denver Broncos football. Signed, Andy from Denver. Wore Case Keenum, curb stomping Denver, so we can blow up this burning dumpster of a franchise.
Burning.
All right, so I want to get into this later on, but I will say this. If Denver cannot, and Denver was 3-0, and you Bronco fans are all hyped up. We're 3-0. Look at the numbers, Rome. Teams that start 3-0 traditionally do make the postseason. Now, I know it's a 17-game season now, but teams that start 3-0 traditionally do get in at a very high rate. Yeah, but now you're not 3-0. Now you're 3-3. And then when you consider when you were 3-0, you got fat against scrubs. So maybe you are what your record says you are, and maybe you're not. And if you can't go into Cleveland in prime time in a must-win game when all of their skill guys virtually are busted the bleep up, what's that say about you? And as much of a character guy as Teddy Bridgewater is, the fact of the matter is they still have a problem at quarterback. They still haven't figured that out. One of the greatest quarterbacks ever still cannot find a quarterback.
Thank you to John Elway.
They have to have that tonight. And I'm here to tell you, there's a real good chance they're not going to get it. And Cowboy Reese writes, hey, Jim, not sure if you know, but America's team has a bye this week. Signed, new listeners to the jungle. Well, we do have some new listeners. That is true. If I have to stop and reset every single thing to accommodate the new listeners, we're going to fall really far behind. They'll figure it out. It's like anything else. We're always adding new listeners. People stop by and they find me on TV, or there's a new affiliation or a format flip somewhere. They'll figure it out. Most people know when I talk about America's team, I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland. That I've been riding with them for a long time. And then a lot of you are saying you couldn't wait to get at me again, saying, man, why don't you get off that bandwagon, Rome? You look bad. They look bad. It's all bad. See, this is where we're different. I'm not going to abandon that fight, and I'm not going to abandon them. I was with them before it was cool to be with them, and now they're dealing with some adversity. They're not done yet. And my 2 cents worth. Rome, how many cups of coffee has Alvy had today? Jim can't get a word in. Either that or he's been on roach duty again this morning.
Buffy's for closers only.
You know, we're kind of regimented. We're pretty much in our routine. We all eat and drink and do similar things every single day. That's how the system works. We have a system. The only time the system really changes is when we... Here's some inside baseball, inside radio, inside jungle for you. The only time the system changes is when we tape out late for podcasts. And then at that point, the fellas will send out for lunch. And then everything comes off the rails completely. But in terms of the morning routine, it really doesn't change. Like, Alvin, correct me if I'm wrong. I would imagine you have not had any more coffee than you normally have this morning. Am I right? Okay, so what's your normal regimen in the morning, coffee-wise? Alvin has a cup coming in and then a cup to start the show. So if he seems like he's been a little more energetic and a little more heavy-handed on the board, it's got nothing to do with the caffeine intake.
That's right.
Thank you. Hey, Rome, we like the Braves' chances of winning the whole thing and not choking. Regards, the 91, 92, 96, 99 Atlanta Braves, and the 2017 Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, it's a town with a history of choking. I get that.
Well, but
Bodie's not ATL. Bodie is Pearland, Texas. He reps Pearland, Texas. By the way, a place where I've been. I have spent time in Pearland. All right, so the bottom line is, what I'm trying to say, do any of you ever listen to anything I say? They're not the same Braves. Not the Braves of the 90s, not even the Braves of 2020. Different team, different swagger, different guys. They don't look like a choker to me. Not when they got up off the mat the way they did, and they went in for the kill early last night. When we come back... Tennessee Titans, also a team you don't want to throw dirt on. Kevin Byard joins me next. 1-800-636-8686. I hit you with that because once we do this interview, the second hour is wide open. Time now for a bottom of the hour sports update. Here it is. Here's Andrew.
Live from Southern California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
A tremendous Thursday to you. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right. If you're on hold, hang in there. Open phones next hour. Maybe even on the back end of this, but first things first, we are joined by a safety for the Tennessee Titans. He is a two-time All-Pro selection, a Pro Bowler, two tackles, one INT, one pass defense in Monday's win over Buffalo. On the season, 29 tackles, three INTs, seven passes defensed, a fumble recovery, and a TD. He was the 64th pick overall in 2016 out of Middle Tennessee. Tennessee is in first in the division. They're 4-2, and they've got a big game Sunday. They're hosting Kansas City Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Kevin Byard is my guest. Kevin, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. How about yourself, Jim?
Good, good, Kevin. Great to visit with you. You got that big game coming up on Sunday, but if we could go back for a minute to that win over Buffalo, so many different parts of that game I want to talk to you about, but overall, just how big of a win over a great team in primetime was that for your crew?
You know, it was a huge win for us. I mean, obviously, you're talking about primetime, Monday Night Football, home stadium, against an electric team, probably, you know, was the best team, or if not one of the best teams in the league. You know, you're talking about power rankings and stats and stuff like that. It was just a huge win for us, a huge confidence booster. But, you know, it was definitely great to be 1-0 that week, and we're just trying to be 1-0 this week against another explosive offense, another explosive team in the Kansas City Chiefs.
Kevin Byard is joining us right now. With the team trailing 13-10 in the second quarter, you had an enormous INT to set up a TD. Can you take me back for one moment? What were you seeing and reading on that play?
Yeah, you know, just a basic cover three concept on defense. You know, I was just able to, you know, really read the quarterback, read his eyes, seeing the back kind of leak out towards the end, realizing that was his check down. I really didn't have any other work to cover. So I just had a, you know, great vision and breaking. And, you know, honestly, I have to give more credit to Danico Autry, who actually caused the tip pass. And I was able to step in front and make a play, trying to get in the end zone there, but kind of got mauled by the offensive line there. So hopefully next time I get a pick, I'll be in the end zone.
I hear you. I'm trying to get to the next game, but there were so many amazing things about that game. For instance, that defensive stand, Kevin, to win the game. You're in pursuit on third down when Josh Allen dives. He comes up just short of the first down marker. So what was going through your head on that fourth down play when they did decide to go for it?
Yeah, so at first I thought it was a first down. And from what I was told, that they radioed from New York or something like that to fix the call on the field. So once I seen it was fourth down, you know, obviously defense, we're trying to get our substitutions in to get in the right personnel. And at the time, it was kind of a little bit of scramble. So I actually called timeout, which I normally don't do. And, you know, normally if a player calls timeout on the field, Vrabel's pretty mad at us. But it was actually a clutch situation. So I called timeout. We was able to get the personnel we needed to get out there. And we have, like, the fire alarms going off in our facility, so I don't know what's going on. But, yeah. At the end of the day, just a big stop, you know. Talking about resilience, being a resilient bunch of guys on the team. Actually, the previous week, we got a big goal line stop in Jacksonville. So that was something that we reverted back to on the field, like, hey, defend every blade of grass. And we end up doing that on that play.
Dude, I'm kind of, like, ambivalent. I hate for you to have to bust out on me with that fire alarm going. I like the way that you're playing through that thing right now. Are we in a good spot? Can we keep talking right here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Usually, it might be a false alarm. If somebody runs in here and say, I got to go, then we'll have to go.
I'll respect that. Kevin Byard is joining us. You know, you're right.
There you go. It just went off, so we're good.
Good, man. Nice. You played right through it. This is what I'm saying, man. You guys don't blink. That's another example of that.
Not at all.
What's it say about that defense that you bowed up the way you did and came up that huge in that moment to win that game? Does that speak to the culture, the mentality of that defense?
Absolutely. It speaks to the character of our entire team. You know, we were down in that game. You see, I think it was like 7 lead changes. You know, we're just not a group of front runners. We're a team that we're battle-tested. I think I seen a stat yesterday that we have like 13 come-from-behind wins in the fourth quarter. Just the character of the team, the kind of guys we have in the locker room. We just don't bend. We don't fold. And we understood the game plan going into it that, you know, it was going to be a bend-but-don't-break defensive game. And once they get down to the red zone, we're going to have to stop them. And I think that was probably the biggest phase of the game was being great in the red zone. They only scored 2 touchdowns out of 5 trips. And you think about earlier in the game where they actually drove the ball on us. It was able to force 2 field goals, so it was 6-0. And then Derrick Henry bust a big run, and now we're up 7-6. So we're definitely key in those clutch situations.
All right, so that's exactly where I was going next. Like, I asked you about the defense, and I like the way you answer that by saying it's about the entire team. It's the toughness of the entire team, and you mentioned Derrick Henry. I mean, if you go back to earlier in the game, when he broke off that run you mentioned, 76-yard touchdown run, on the one hand, Kevin, you're probably not surprised by that, but at the same time, when you see that and you see the big fella get rolling like that, does the defense also feed off of that?
Honestly, it's funny because, like you said, it really doesn't surprise me anymore. Like, for some guys, obviously, you know, every single year you have new guys going to come up to the team, but and they get super excited when they see a big guy run. But I'm sitting on the sideline, like, every time he runs the ball, he has a chance to go. So when he broke, I mean, obviously, I was thinking, like, damn, this guy's running super fast. But at the same time, just sitting on the bench, like, well, there's Derrick Henry running for another big 70-yard, 80-yard, whatever run. And I'm just pretty – it was just calm because I think I've been spoiled by so many over the years. I mean, this guy's just an incredible athlete, definitely built different. Guys want to talk about his workload and stuff like that. I mean, the guy was rushing for – he ran for 12,000 yards in high school. We all know the career he had in college, so – I mean, he just built different, man. Just a different type of cat.
Dude, he is a different kind of cat that is built differently. And not only that, I mean, never mind the workload. Like you said, he was going fast. Like, my man got up to nearly 21 miles per hour. One thing to be able to stiff-arm anybody to the center of the earth. Another to run for 12K in high school and just have that workload. But to see a dude that big move that quickly, what's that look like in real time.
And honestly, it looks special. And honestly, sometimes the way when he's running, it doesn't really look like he's running that fast. But once you compare it to everybody else on the field that may be, you know, about to pull a hamstring, I mean, he's just striding and he just, his legs start getting up there. I mean, he just start covering ground. You're like, man, this guy's really running fast. And so, I mean, you just kind of see, man, this guy is not built like an average athlete. I mean, he's bigger than every single one of our linebackers on our team. The only guys he's probably bigger than is our who's bigger than him is our D tackles. I mean, like you said, I mean, you can load up the box as much as you want. Every team knows what the game plan, defensive game plan going against us is going to be, and he continues to have success. So, just happy that he's on my team.
That is great. Kevin Byer joining us. Now, you were PFF's highest graded safety through the first five games. You've had some great years in the league, including when you led the league in INTs. But I could make the argument that you're playing the best ball of your career right now. Would you agree with that argument? Does it feel that way to you?
Yeah, honestly, I definitely feel like even the year where, you know, I had interceptions and I was, you know, Pro Bowl year and stuff like that, you know, even watching the film and, you know, as I evaluate myself at the end of every season, I felt like I had so much more to add to my game. But I think now this year, you know, I just feel like I'm playing a lot free. I'm flying around, making plays, doing what I can. And on a leadership standpoint, I've grown so much being in that leadership position, leading a, you know, younger defensive back group, just leading the entire team and, you know, just trying to continue to be better, man. I'm just trying to chase improvement. You know, I don't get too caught up on the PFF scores. It's so funny that, you know, as players, we kind of joke about the PFF, and it's like, you only really pay attention to it when it's something good, but when it's something bad, everybody's like, well, you know, PFF doesn't mean anything. So, you know, I'm just trying to chase improvement every single week.
We're talking to Kevin Byer. All right, so Sunday, you've got Kansas City. It's a team that's been in the Super Bowl each of the last two seasons. I mean, obviously, every single game is big, but if the goal is to go to the Super Bowl, does this one feel a little bigger than the others?
No, I mean, honestly, you know, no game really feels bigger than the other. I think, you know, in our building, we prepare for every single game as if, you know, it's the most important game of the season. And obviously, you know, we understand, you know, obviously having Super Bowl champions, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill, we understand the challenge. It's definitely a huge challenge for us that we definitely would definitely take on, and we're glad to have that. But no, we're not looking at this as if, like, you know, this is the end-all, be-all, because obviously we still have our division games that we definitely have to win those. But, I mean, it's just a huge game. You know, we understand that coming off of a big win Monday night in Buffalo, you know, that's definitely not a trap game, but, you know, having that excitement of the previous game, you want to make sure that we're just as locked in this week as we were last week after coming off a big win. So it's going to be a huge game this week.
All right, so you mentioned their big three. So as a safety, what's it like to go up against Mahomes and Kelce and Tyreek Hill in that offense? What is the key to slowing them down?
Well, just like you said, I mean, you just got to slow them down. I don't think you can stop them. They just have so much explosion, especially when you're talking about a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. It's kind of almost going to be the same thing with last week with Josh Allen. I mean, these guys can throw off any type of platform. They can be scrambling all the way to the left and throw across the field like he did in Washington on the line. You know, receiver never breaks stride. So as a defensive back, as a safety, if I'm deep, I have to stay deep. I can't be running up, you know, getting nosy. If you have man and he starts to scramble, you have to plaster on your guy, making sure you're covering your guy. And just understand that, hey, it's a bend but don't break mentality. These guys are going to make plays. We can't get too upset. We can't get too distraught about it. They make a play, they get a big play. We understand that. We obviously have to limit those, but we understand that we have to defend every blade of grass, and we have to be great in the red zone because they may get some yards, but if they get close to the end zone, we have to stop them and force a field goal.
So I want to ask you something. Clearly, you're all in. I mean, you're all in on your job, on your business, the people around you, but the people who know you know about the commitment that you and your wife have within the community as well. Earlier this year, you were involved in funding the renovation of a safe room at the Davidson County Department of Children's Services. I'm curious, how did you get involved in that project, and why was that a special project for both of you?
Yeah, it was definitely something special. So the thing about it is that they actually reached out to me earlier in the year because they wanted me to speak at their graduation. So they usually hold a graduation every year for the kids that's in the program that, you know, want to have a high school graduation and stuff like that, or even middle school. And they wanted me to kind of just speak to the children. And so I end up touring the buildings, touring their facilities, and me and my wife just, you know, afterwards just kind of, you know, kind of just spoke to us, you know, in our hearts that, you know, maybe we should try to help them, you know, renovate this space because, you know, I've had family members and cousins that's been in the foster care system, and I understand that, and that's a very traumatic, you know, situation for whoever's involved. So we just felt like, you know, being able to give them something that if they are in this situation, they have in this transition phase, that they can come to a space where it's comfortable, it feels like home, and it's not, you know, because it's already traumatic as it is. So, you know, that's just something that me and my wife, we like to do. We just like to try to extend grace, God's grace, because he's done so much in our lives. We just want to extend it as much as we can. So that's honestly how it came about. And, you know, it's just a blessing to be in a position to bless others.
I think that's tremendous. Well done. Tennessee Titans safety, two-time All-Pro selection. He is a Pro Bowler. He is having a big year. And you've got a great matchup. Tennessee is hosting Kansas City on Sunday. Kevin Byard, my guest. Kevin, I appreciate you very much. Great to have you back. Thanks so much for that.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, Jim.
Have a great day, Kevin. God, I love his energy. That's a pro's pro, too. Kevin. That's not the Kevin that guy was talking about, but this is a Kevin who deserves your respect and your time. Kansas City at Tennessee. Man, the NFL, to me, has never been more wide open than it is right now. Like, you never know. If you look at these things game by game, never mind ATS, which is what we do now, but game by game, and especially ATS, it has never, ever been tougher to pick. Like tonight's game. First of all, I love that matchup. Kansas City at Tennessee Sunday, CBS, 1 p.m. Eastern. Speaking of CBS, I will be in New York for the NFL Today on CBS, and I will be a part of that show. That is 12 noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific time. I have my topics. So I will be there for that. And then you've got tonight's matchup. I mean, seriously, Denver and Cleveland. That could be a really close game, or that could be an absolute beatdown and blowout. I really don't know how that's going to go. How are you playing that one? How do you think that's going to go? Who do you like tonight? When we come back, we will get into that. And I want to talk about the Red Sox and more. Stay tuned.